right. Easy show tonight. Easy, easy peasy. Good evening, everyone. I am Don Tony. Welcome to your WWE post-Raw show. It is the 16th of January. We are about 12 days away from the Royal Rumble. Additional match added today. A couple of revelations. One, it's kind of a funny reaction online. We'll talk about that. Kind of an expected entry in the Royal Rumble, if you know what I'm talking about. We have quite a bit of rumors to kill tonight. The bullshit alarm has returned. After the Mercedes Moné AEW debacle, WWE sold the Saudi Arabia debacle. They are out in the woodwork trying to find anything to get you to click on their bullshit. So I guess I am here to be the one to kill those rumors. We got three or four of them to kill tonight. Some pretty big ones, too. A leaked list as far as entries. Don't buy it. We'll talk about it. Got a little tidbit regarding some ratings with regards to NXT and AEW. It's not going to be a long discussion later, but something you should take notice. With all due respect, Bron Breakker, I think it's time they promote him to the main roster, maybe night after WrestleMania. Yeah, I think so. NXT flame seems to be fizzling out amongst fans when it comes to Bron Breakker. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And I'm a huge Bron Breakker fan, but I think it's gotten very, very mundane and kind of boring, and we'll talk about it. We have a giveaway to do tonight. We're going to give away this Nikita Lyons photo. That's everybody who was at the watch party last Tuesday. I didn't forget about y'all. And let's get right into it. All right. Raw tonight. Okay show. Doesn't feel like a hell of a lot has been put into the anticipation of the 30th anniversary of Raw. Now, look, you got milestones. 1-year anniversary, 5-year, 10-year, 15 maybe, 20, 25. It's like high school. If anybody out there is up to their 30th high school reunion, 30 is not as big as 25 or 20. But because it's in the midst of the Royal Rumble hype, you got to try to balance it out a little bit. You want to hype up and focus on next Saturday's Royal Rumble. At the same time, though, you want to attract as many people as possible to tune into Raw 30 because that is also an advertisement for the Royal Rumble. Now, if you paid attention to my show on Saturday, I said, expect not just one or two, expect numerous championship matches next week on Raw and SmackDown, especially SmackDown, because that's Royal Rumble weekend. So does Charlotte defend the women's championship at the Rumble? I'm not so sure because we got a new match added today, which we'll talk about. But overall, tonight's show, okay. Maybe somewhat passable. I know some of you were confused. I was looking at the reaction towards the closing of Raw tonight. Like, why is Omos out there? Well, you had to read between the lines with the Raw teaser tonight. Bobby Lashley, unfinished business. Yes, he wants the United States Championship back. Unfinished business. But there was going to be a hurt business tie into it. And that's what we got towards the end of Raw tonight. Bobby Lashley telling MVP, look, I don't need your help. I don't need Omos's help. Kind of proved it with the win. And, to the gentleman on my social media that was, telling me, oh, they just advertised Rollins versus Theory in Pennsylvania next week, and I live in Philly, and this is where it's at. Don't believe those older advertisers. I don't care if it aired today. That's why I didn't respond to you, dude. Things are put out there early on, but obviously things change. I will say this, though. I honestly thought it was kind of stupid for Seth Rollins to be in this main event match tonight because of last week's promo exchange with Austin Theory. He's talking about the ankle. The ankle's not 100%, but it'll be ready for the Royal Rumble. So you figure, okay, we're not going to see Rollins in action again until the Rumble. And will he truly be 100%? Well, 7 days later, it never happened. He had the match pretty much like the promo never meant anything. If you want to get a little picky, what about Becky Lynch and her exchange with Bayley tonight? Yeah, I know insults are fun. I know insults are catchy. But when insults don't make much sense, you know, do they really have that much worth? And look, I'm a big fan of Becky Lynch, but let's be honest. Tonight, she's throwing some insults to Bayley, like, oh, you haven't been relevant since 2015. My first reaction was, didn't Becky just give compliments to Bayley 2 weeks ago that she carried Raw during the COVID era, 2020? I mean, come on. You know, I know we have short attention spans, but I don't think that short. So, you know, you kind of like think about this a little bit. Some things really didn't make too much sense. But, you know, overall, not a bad show tonight. I got to show you a clip about something. Maybe I'm overreacting, but to me, it really stood out. I mean, it really stood out. Actually, two things. One has to do with Rhea Ripley. One has to do with Mustafa Ali. Now, if you look at the synopsis for tonight's show, you'll get an overall list of the topics that we're going to talk about. And it's not in exact order, but you know, if you look at that list, you'll see where I'm going with some of these things. Let's talk about Rhea Ripley first. All right, we open up Raw tonight, and we have the Usos in the ring with Solo Sikoa, Sami Zayn, no, not there, Roman Reigns, not there, Paul Heyman, not there. And they're talking about next week for Raw 30. And Raw 30 looks stacked. Raw 30, and by the way, I will give you a tidbit on Vince McMahon. You know, let's throw the Vince stuff out there right now. Let's throw it out there right now because people are going to jerk you off with clickbait all week long. Vince McMahon will be at Raw next week. He will be at Raw 30. Asterisk. This is not clickbait. This is not a tease. I'm just telling you as it is. Vince McMahon will be featured on Raw 30. We will see a lot of nostalgia featuring Vince McMahon. We talked about it last week. He was part of the intro. Vince McMahon cannot belt out anymore. Welcome to Monday Night Raw. He can't belt that out anymore. If he tries, it's going to sound like, was it Jan or Marsha? I mean, I never liked the Brady Bunch. You remember that stupid, was it, or was it one of the guys? Da-da-da-da, to change, you got to rearrange. I wanted to, whoever put that on my television when I was a child, seriously. I don't know if it's my mom or my dad. One day I got to ask him, when I was a kid, which one of you put fucking Brady Bunch on my TV? You know, I didn't like them. And Vince McMahon cannot belt out that anymore. Vince McMahon cannot move like he did before. And Vince McMahon is trying not to show any type of friction with the locker room. As I told you 3 days in a row, it was sausage. I understand why news reporters have to report it. It is news. But you and I all knew Triple H was having a meeting with the Raw roster tonight. He had a meeting on Friday with the SmackDown roster. He was going to do the same thing tonight, reiterated the same thing. You know, understand something. Triple H is not going to lie to the roster. And Vince McMahon, for the most part, is not going to lie to Triple H. Remember what we talked about on Saturday with Stephanie? Remember that little line that Vince McMahon said in his press release? They knew. They knew his intentions all along about coming back. This was not a surprise. It was just a matter of when he was going to come back. They knew. So again, people trying to insinuate that Vince McMahon is leaving Triple H in the dark with his aspirations, please don't go down that rabbit hole. You're gonna really feel ripped off at the end of it. People out there don't like Vince McMahon. They will make it seem like anything Vince McMahon does turns into jello. That Vince McMahon is the evil devil, almighty hated. They're going to make wrestlers feel even more uncomfortable because some of these wrestlers depend on some of these wrestling news sites for a little bit of news and gossip. And when you got people with agendas out there, and again, you know, Vince McMahon, I don't want him. I personally wouldn't want him as my relative or my significant other. And yes, there is a rift in the McMahon family. But, you know, this dramatic, oh, Vince is already putting his hand in creative. Yeah, I got news for you. I think Vince McMahon, I think you're going to see Sausage come out. We've been talking about this match for 8 months. It is still on schedule to happen at WrestleMania. In fact, Fightful reported earlier today that John Cena filmed some content with WWE that involves Austin Theory. This match is still on course to happen at WrestleMania. And that was more of a Vince McMahon call than anything else. Vince McMahon sees money in Austin Theory. Vince McMahon is very, very close with John Cena. Remember Vince's birthday last year? Who went to the birthday party? Who was one of the people that went? So if that match happens, and it's awesome, we're not supposed to give a little credit because that was Vince's idea. So when you read these things online, they make it seem like Vince is there like, ha, 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 Triple A, ha, ha, ha. Motherfucker is greedy. Vince McMahon is greedy. He wants to make as much money as possible. He's not trying to stir the pot. Wrestlers are concerned about the future of WWE because we don't know who it's going to be sold to. They don't know what their future is. You know, think of WCW in 2001. You know, the only difference is that WCW was on a major decline. WWE right now is peaking. They're peaking. So, you know, it's a little bit of a different vibe. Let me say it like this. Just show you how ridiculous this is. Vince has 83% voting majority. That means any major decisions, Vince has 83% of the power. Not 51%, 83. That is overwhelming. You got media rights deals coming up in 2024. Who in their right mind expected Vince to say, step aside, I'll accept whatever you choose? You know, as much as you like Triple H with creative, as much as you're happy that some people were re-signed, does Triple H shown that he could run an $8 billion company and have the success that Vince did? What about Stephanie? There's a lot of rumblings about Stephanie and some of her deals with advertising was not as great. Oh, I know she's a wonderful woman, and I know that she's history, but is there any track record that Stephanie and Triple H could produce the results that Vince did? Do they have the relationship with these pig executives, these billionaires and trillionaires that are probably worse in some cases than Vince McMahon? Are they going to be able to deal with them? So when you have this roster, not knowing about tomorrow, I got news for you. At the end of the day, they want to have their cake and eat it too. They want status quo. They want management remaining in place. And they also want Vince to stay on the sidelines. You're working for a company that 83% of the voting power is someone that you may dislike. You still chose to work for that company. That's on you. If you succeed, if you fail, if you've been cheated, if you feel you didn't get the shot, that's on you. You chose to work for them. Plain and simple, right? Just like when you vote for someone in office. You know, if majority votes someone in office and they fail, no matter if it's local or federal, you know, that's on you. You know, you put the people in office. So, you know, just take a step back with all this Vince stuff. So Vince will be on Raw 30, but Vince does not want to walk in that building and feel tension. You know, and let me tell you something. You know, this idea that the majority of WWE does not like Vince McMahon, please send me whatever you're smoking. It's just like the CM Punk stuff. If you pay attention to the agenda media and the EVPs that are feeding them the crumbs, CM Punk was the most hated person on the roster. You go back a year and you find out little gestures he did for the women, for Hobbs, for this person, that person, this person, this person, this person. And little drips and drabs come out like, wow, he was actually one of the more liked people on that roster. That's probably why the EVPs and the foundation, as I like to call them. You know, we have the bloodline in AEW. I call them the foundation. they did not like that CM Punk had that much play with some of those stars. So, you know, you can have this perception that a majority of the WWE roster dislikes Vince McMahon. That is not the case. Not the case at all. That's why so many times you think it's like, oh, look, you know, man, you're going to wrestle WrestleMania. Hey, if you win, you got to hug the motherfucker. You got to cry. You got to go on camera. You know, you got to show emotion. You got to thank him to death. You got to make him feel like he's your dad. You know, that's a must. You don't think it was genuine emotion by these people? You know, so don't believe the hype that you're seeing online. You know, Vince definitely is out of touch. I'm not going to deny it. Vince is out of touch. Vince is too comfortable. Vince uses the mindset like, I'll do it, worked in the past. And it doesn't always happen that way. So Vince will be on the show next week, but he will not be there in a physical, you know, presence. If he is, I'd be shocked to shit. But Vince will be featured on TV. They are not giving him the Benoit treatment when they celebrate Raw 30. Let's just get that out of the way, because people are going to clickbait you all week long with that. All right. Okay. We got a couple of big matches happening next week at Raw 30. We have the United States Championship being defended. Austin Theory will be taking on Bobby Lashley. One of the matches that was announced tonight, let me pull it up, was this. I know you're going to question the participants. Why is The Miz in the running for this? What about Dolph Ziggler, with all due respect? King Corbin, Baron Corbin, Happy Corbin. Like, you look at this and it's like, oh, you know, yeah. So it was an elimination match. And Bobby Lashley ended up taking it. The order of eliminations. First, we had Dolph Ziggler eliminating The Miz. Basically, what happened was The Miz was in a figure four by Dolph Ziggler. Miz reversed it. Now, if you ever see someone reverse a figure four, they turn around. Like, if you both wrestlers have their backs on the mat. Just picture like when Ric Flair executes figure four. Both wrestlers have their backs on the mat. They're struggling. And then you have a wrestler that teases that they're going to flip around. And when they flip around, they reverse it. So Miz reverses the figure four. So now Miz's head is facing the ground. And can you guess what happens next? Curb stomp. 1, 2, 3, Miz is gone. That was the early story of this. Every time somebody hit a finisher, here comes Rollins out of nowhere with a finisher of his own, and he gets the win. We had Dolph Ziggler for the second fall, and Ziggler was the star of the second fall. Super kick to Baron Corbin, super kick and a zigzag to Bobby Lashley, super kick to Finn Balor, who was jumping off the top rope. Right after that super kick, here is Seth Rollins again. Pedigree this time, 1, 2, 3, gone. Dolph Ziggler is gone. Now we have Finn Balor. Finn Balor hits the coup de grace to Bobby Lashley, and here comes another curb stomp to Finn Balor. 1, 2, 3, gone. So now it's down to Bobby Lashley, Baron Corbin, Seth Rollins. Rollins and Corbin start brawling to the outside, and out of nowhere, here comes Omos with MVP by his side. Omos basically tries to assist in some way, you know, but what happens is Omos starts getting into it with Baron Corbin. And then Austin Theory tries to get involved, and Omos teases that he's going to do something to Austin Theory. So in the midst of all of this, Corbin goes back in the ring, eats a spear from Bobby Lashley, eliminated, 1, 2, 3. So Corbin is gone. So now it's down to Bobby Lashley and Seth Rollins. Bobby Lashley is looking at MVP and Omos, and Lashley's like, I don't need your help. I don't want your help. I'm good. I could take care of this myself. And Bobby Lashley can't, you know, let it go. He's still jawjacking. He puts his head between the ropes, and here comes Austin Theory with a belt shot. Right after that, here comes Omos trying to get at it with Austin Theory, but Rollins out of nowhere gets into it with Austin Theory, and Rollins attacks Theory. Bobby Lashley once again, you know, getting into it with MVP. Rollins enters the ring, but Bobby Lashley greets him with a spear. 1, 2, 3, done. Bobby Lashley is your winner. Bobby Lashley goes on to take on Austin Theory next week. Do I expect a title change? No, I wouldn't say yet, because, you know, the road to WrestleMania is still a little ways away. I mean, everybody that's talking online thinks it's Royal Rumble, WrestleMania. No, we actually have a stop or two in the process. And they are going to take the scenic route. I think John Cena interacting with Austin Theory might be a little too soon. But no, I don't see Bobby Lashley winning the United States Championship this soon. I think Austin Theory keeps it a little bit longer. Hey, if Bobby Lashley gets it back, good. But I don't see it, to be honest with you. So let's get back to the beginning of Raw, because I want to talk about something else I had a problem with. And that's Rhea Ripley. And that's Mustafa Ali. Now, please, don't take me out of context. This is not any criticism to Rhea Ripley. Actually, it's the opposite. Yesterday on the sit-down, we had a nice conversation regarding Rhea Ripley and some comments that Kofi Kingston made. And Kofi Kingston, in an interview over the weekend, went on record and thinks he's making a prediction that Rhea Ripley will be either Intercontinental Champion or United States Champion in 2023. And my reaction to it is pretty much what I said yesterday. That is a pipe dream. That will not happen. If it happens the way WWE is currently set up creatively, that will be horrendous. It will suck. It will be terrible. No, I do not think Rhea Ripley, she definitely can hang with the guys. Rhea Ripley is awesome. Rhea Ripley should be able to win one of those two championships. The problem is, and I pointed this out that night on Raw, I pointed it out yesterday, I pointed it out again today, and I'm going to show you another example of that that happened tonight on Raw. When Rhea Ripley took on Akira Tozawa, if you watch that match closely, Tozawa did not punch or kick Rhea Ripley once. There was a couple of moments where Akira Tozawa moved out of dodge, Rhea Ripley screwed up and hurt herself. One point, Akira Tozawa had like a leg scissors. Yeah, that's not a violence like that. That's like an acrobatic move. And the entire match, Tozawa did not lay his hands on him, on her once. And that is because WWE does not want men on women violence. Simulated violence, real violence, somewhere in the middle, suspension. No. So when you had all those people, oh, WWE's bringing back intergender wrestling, what are you fucking smoking? For real? So tonight on Raw, we had another example. And let me say this before I show you the example. The reason why Rhea Ripley, if she were to win the United States, the only way she could win that championship, whether it's U.S. or IC title, is if WWE changes their view on men on women violence. And I don't see them changing anytime soon, because they have certain advertisers. You know, understand that when advertisers are interested in advertising with WWE, they don't tune into an episode of Raw or SmackDown, watch the show and say, yeah, I'll advertise my product. No, WWE actually gives them a portfolio, gives them media, gives them an overall of what they're about, what they do and what they don't do. So if you're going to make a change where you're going to simulate men beating up women in a match, there is some major backstage changes that have to happen, and it's not just in the creative position. You know, you need to understand that. So Rhea Ripley, if she won that, any one of those championships, just imagine what those matches will look like when men cannot kick, punch, do, or maybe just one shot. Why do you think, you know, Baron Corbin that time with what, Becky Lynch? People still talk about it today because we never see men on women. So that's why Rhea Ripley will not be IC or US champion in 2023 as it is right now, because of that restriction. Tonight we had the same thing. They got very cute with it again. And I'm not objecting to it, but I need you to understand that because people know this. And they're going to still push that narrative to get 1,000 likes. Rhea Ripley should be United States champion right now. 1,000 likes. They know it can't happen. They're not going to have a movement. Trust me, I don't give a fuck who you are on Twitter. I don't care how many followers you have. I don't care how many likes or retweets you get. You ain't going to override investors, advertisers, corporate. You're not. So you may get emotional wins, but you ain't going to get actual wins. Go fight for something that you really could change. So tonight on Raw, the Usos come out with Solo Sikoa. They're talking about next week they're going to do a celebration for Roman Reigns and the Bloodline, mostly Roman Reigns. Apparently the Wild Samoans will be there. Rikishi will be there. We will see all the family members appear. Be interesting if The Rock shows up. You know, nobody talked about that tonight. When they talked about all the family members, what about The Rock? Nobody talked about that tonight. If you go around social media, nobody talked about that. So the Judgment Day come out because they have a match next week. Damian Priest and Dominic Mysterio. They have a match next week against the Usos for the tag titles. That's a good one too, Gordon. Will Ava Rain be there? That's a good one. I think it's going to be the parents. I think it's going to be more of that. But anyway, it's Judgment Day come out. And Dominic, being cocky as a motherfucker, throwing jabs at the Judgment Day. He's talking about prison still. He's saying, in prison, we call it, what do we call an Uso in prison? We call him a wannabe essay. And who's the biggest wannabe of them all? That street champion there, pointing at Solo Sikoa, who is doing absolutely nothing. So what happens? We get a stare down with Dominic Mysterio and Solo Sikoa. I fucking love what they're doing with Dominic right now. So what happens? We think there's going to be an altercation. And here we go. There you go. Nope. Stare down. So now we got Rhea Ripley staring down Solo Sikoa. Solo Sikoa backs off. Yeah. Solo ain't going to do nothing. Solo Sikoa gets in her face again. Shows the Samoan spike. So what does Rhea Ripley do? Go ahead. I dare you. I double dare you. And I'm saying to myself, no, nothing is going to happen. Nothing is going to happen. And nothing did happen. Solo Sikoa, he backs off. He's about to charge Rhea Ripley. Pipe dream. Because right before we believe Solo Sikoa is going to actually assault Rhea Ripley. Somebody jumps off the top rope. Now, it was good because Dominic actually fought and he attacked Solo Sikoa too. Dominic showing a set of balls for mommy. I like it. I like what they're doing with Dominic. Dominic, don't back down, man. Yeah, his thoughts about prison obviously is ridiculous and it's funny, but he's growing a set. He's not being a punk-ass little bitch and running away. That's pretty good. So we get to Mustafa Ali. Oh, boy. You know, I like Mustafa Ali. Very, very happy that he was able to work things out with WWE. Came back to TV. Remember what happened last year? I don't think what Mustafa Ali thought was going to happen happened. And honestly, it's not working. It's not working. And I feel bad because Mustafa Ali is an uber all-star talent. I personally think maybe it's time to either bring Mustafa Ali to NXT or release him. I don't care how vocal he gets on social media. The crowd is not connected to Mustafa Ali. Even for the shock value, people usually pop for something out of nowhere. Doesn't have to be an RKO all the time. It could be a punch, a kick, a dive, anything. So when Solo Sikoa goes back and acts like he's going to hit Rhea Ripley, here comes Mustafa Ali diving off the top rope because he's got a match with Solo Sikoa tonight. I'm going to show you that dive. And I'm going to play some audio. I want you to hear the crowd reaction to Mustafa Ali's move. Listen to how little this crowd reacted. Just, and if you're on audio, just listen.
Uh-oh.
But Ali!
What?
It's Mustafa Ali! Ali versus Solo's name!
Nothing. Nothing. It's nothing. The match was pretty dead. Later on, Mustafa Ali gets into an argument with Dolph Ziggler in the back because Dolph Ziggler is part of the number one contenders match, and Ali is not. Ali ends up cheap-shotting, you know, Dolph Ziggler. Where's this going to go? A match between the two? You know, the Ali experiment is not working. I think it's more WWE creative than anything else because Ali works his ass off. Ali is in a tip-top shape. The guy could work at the best of them. I just don't think character development-wise doesn't seem to be clicking. It's again, it's not his fault. I don't want anybody to jump on me. I'd rather see Mustafa Ali get a push. That crowd just doesn't care. They don't care. Even on social media after, majority of people don't care. So what ends up happening, Solo Sikoa gets the substantial win. Mustafa Ali loses. No physical altercations with Rhea Ripley. And again, you know, this pipe dream that men are going to start to be able to physically go at it with Rhea Ripley, yeah, there has to be a big internal change to happen before that happens. Just understand it. Because there's going to be a lot of people out there that are going to hype up something that they know in the back of their mind cannot happen. As it is right now, it cannot happen. So, that was your opener. We covered the finish, the main event, and we covered the opener tonight. So now, we get a few other matches tonight. Nice match with the Street Profits versus Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander. MVP once again is at ringside, which, you know, was a little bit baffling because I guess the storyline is supposed to be like Shelton and Cedric are like, what are you doing here, MVP? They have a fun back and forth match. Towards the end, here is MVP. And the finish of the match was fun. Shelton Benjamin had Angelo Dawkins up in the air, tosses him towards Cedric Alexander's way. Cedric with a nice knee to Dawkins' head. And he goes for a pin. Now, if you watch it again, MVP kept trying to climb the rope. But Cedric Alexander is not even looking at MVP. So Cedric goes for the pin, gets a two count. Angelo Dawkins reverses it into a roll-up, and Cedric Alexander gets pinned. But after the match, they're arguing with MVP like they distracted him. He distracted them. And if you go watch the whole pinfall, Cedric wasn't even looking MVP's way. So the finish was kind of sloppy on behalf of, I think, Cedric Alexander. But that's where this storyline is going. You know, if you read between the lines, is it possible that they end up turning on Omos? Will Omos eventually become a babyface? Will they turn on Omos? I was thinking about it tonight. What if they start a new Hurt Business? What if the Street Profits align themselves with MVP? I don't know what you all think about this. And no, I'm not saying it because they're all black. But I was thinking, you know, it feels like the Street Profits need a little bit of a change as well. The only thing is, though, is I just don't picture Montez Ford being a heel anytime soon. That's my only issue with that. Speaking of Omos, Elias, really odd segment with MVP. They're back and forth. Suddenly, Matt Riddle is Elias's best friend. If you remember the storyline, Elias, you know, he does, you know, he doesn't want to be bothered, you know, but he's, you know, he's hanging out with Riddle. Now all of a sudden he's his best friend. you know, look what they did to my best friend and this and that, blah, 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 blah. So we're supposed to believe that MVP is taking on Elias tonight. Elias is in the ring. MVP's like, oh, no, you're not facing me. You're facing this person. And here comes Omos, and Elias is acting like, you know, oh, fuck. And it was an okay match. Guitar got involved. Omos just smashed it onto the floor. But Omos ends up defeating Elias pretty handedly. Hey, it was nice to see Omos back. Omos has been overseas with family, getting a little bit of a break. And he's back. Great shape. Let's see what happens with Omos. You know, tonight he didn't look bad at all. He actually seemed like he was moving around a little bit better. So, continuing on, Judgment Day over Alpha Academy. Earlier in the night, Alpha Academy with the Judgment Day in the back, having a little bit of back and forth, cracking some jokes. Dominic still acting like street. And Chad Gable trying to give Dominic a little bit of pointers. The match was very good. In the end, Judgment Day gets the win. They're getting the title shot next week. They ain't losing. They're not losing any momentum right now. So Judgment Day defeat Alpha Academy. Alpha Academy is starting to feel like this, getting stuck in the mud. But still, don't forget that possibility of the WrestleMania match that we talked about like a month ago, month and a half ago. I think that is still very, very possible. You know, I don't know what Kurt Angle could possibly do. But I think there's going to be some interaction with Alpha Academy and Kurt Angle at WrestleMania. Mia Yim losing to Io Sky. Again, you know, I know a lot of people have criticized the way Damage Control has been used since they've, you know, appeared on SummerSlam. I think it's more creative than anything else, but that has fallen flat. Crowd was dead for this match as well. Early in the night, we had the promo exchange that I talked about earlier with Bayley and Becky Lynch, you know, throwing some jabs back and forth. Some of the insults didn't make sense. Becky Lynch calling Bayley a Karen because she complains all the time. But this ends up, we're going to have a cage match next week between Bayley and Becky Lynch. And apparently Sky and Kai are not going to be able, well, they might try to get him involved, but they will not be inside the cage. So we got a cage match next week on Raw 30. And that is, you know, Royal Rumble week. So, you know, not a bad match to have, especially on free TV. Now, later on, we had another women's altercation. But the match will not happen at Raw 30. It actually will happen at the Royal Rumble. We see some highlights from last week with Alexa Bliss and Bianca Belair. Well, 2 weeks ago. Bianca's in the ring. She doesn't mind facing Alexa over and over and over and over again. And Alexa Bliss comes out there acting very stoic, confident. And, you know, basically, Bianca Belair. See, I think if you go back and you watch it, I think Bianca Belair cut Alexa Bliss off a little bit quickly. Because Alexa Bliss, soon as she said the words Royal Rumble, before she could even talk about being in the Royal Rumble match, Bianca just stops her, I think, too quickly. And she's like, oh, before you even go there, you don't have to be in the 30 women over the top battle royal, you know. And Alexa Bliss like, wait, what's the catch? So Bianca Belair is willing to give Alexa Bliss another championship match at Royal Rumble. Oh, wait a minute. Did I say Io Sky won? Excuse me. Mia Yim won. Excuse me. I meant Mia Yim won, but crowd was dead. You know, they had Candice LeRae with Mia Yim, and they hugged afterwards, and it's a nice little moment in the ring, but still, the match was dead. The match was dead. So my apologies if I mixed up the, yeah, Mia Yim got the win. Crowd still was dead. So crowd didn't care. Crowd did not care. And Candice LeRae, let's be honest, you know, it's been a dud with Candice LeRae as well. And you know what, before we talk a little bit more about Becky Lynch and Alexa Bliss. Let me show you one more thing that I wanted to show you before. After Mia Yim beat Dakota Kai, and we got Candice LeRae, a little cameo, we see Corey Graves and Kevin Patrick. By the way, Kevin Patrick may need an asthma pump, because a lot of people were pointing out to me tonight, he's out of breath again. He's a big move by Meechan. He sounds like he needs an asthma pump. But they're talking at ringside. Now, let's take Alexa and Bianca off the screen. They're talking at ringside. Now, does anybody notice something in the background? If you don't see it, let me zoom in on it. Yep, she is there, everyone. She is there. Lily! Lily is there. No, that is not Bray Wyatt on the left with the hat backwards. No, that is not a younger-looking Tammy Sitch on the right. That is Lily. No, that's just somebody holding a fucking doll. Everybody is talking about Nikki Cross. She's behind the announcer's table. Fans were told, do not act like she is there. You know, so look, as we said before, and here's a rumor killer. Here's a rumor killer. Here's a rumor killer about Nikki Cross. Let me throw this out there. I don't think people like think with a brain before they report news sometimes. There was a report floating around a lot of websites today about Nikki Cross. And the phrase that all these websites wrote repeatedly, and I quote, WWE recently had a Nikki Cross drawing produced for an upcoming angle. There's no word on what's planned for Nikki Cross, but she was recently teasing a potential return for Sanity on Twitter. Now, we've shown you some of those videos of her drawing with chalk and crayons with Sanity, with the dates. Remember the Easter eggs that we talked about? These moronic websites actually wrote today that they don't know if WWE actually has plans for Sanity return, or, get this, and I quote, this may have been something that Nikki Cross was just doing on her own. These people are actually trying to tell you that Nikki Cross took it upon herself to start teasing a Sanity return, which had WWE cameras produce it, replay it, repeat it, and show it on all their social medias, and Nikki Cross went rogue and did it on her own. Please do not pay attention to these people. I want to just close that out because a lot of people were talking about it tonight. That is bullshit. Sanity is returning. Nikki Cross, you see, she's at ringside. She's in the back during the You think she just popped up in the background during all those Candice LeRae interviews? Remember when they had the bags of money before he lost it all, Dexter Lumis? Remember when Nikki Cross in the back? If she did that upon herself, you don't think WWE produced, like, the fuck you doing in a segment? Get out of here. Go to catering. Don't show up in a segment. They're filming. Cut, cut. These people are stupid, man. Stupid. And we got two other big rumor killers. Two big ones to share. It has to do with both Royal Rumble matches. We'll get to that in a few. But anyway, getting back to Alexa and Bianca. They're jaw-jacking back and forth. The match is set. Royal Rumble. Alexa Bliss gets the rematch. But Bianca don't want to wait till the Royal Rumble. She goes out the ring. She starts getting into it with Alexa Bliss. They brawl into the crowd a little bit. Bianca sets up two chairs and goes to, picks up Alexa and is going to, I guess, dump her onto both chairs. So what ends up happening, oh God, I did not like this at all. For those on audio only, I will paint the picture if you didn't see Raw. Bianca Belair has Alexa Bliss up, and she's looking down like an aisle and I guess one of the exit areas, or maybe we could go get a pretzel. They throw a little bit of the, you know, the smoke, you know, that smoke that they do, the whatever, I forget what they use, the CO2 machines. And here is the Uncle Howdy character. And Bianca is frozen. And I listen, I like the storyline. It's dragging on way too long. But I'm willing to wait a little bit longer for the next chapter. But what looks ridiculous about it is if you look on the end, on the rampway, all you see is a silhouette of Uncle Howdy. You don't see the face. There's obviously no facial reactions because it's a mask. So all we see, and the best way I could even describe it is, all we see is a silhouette of Uncle Howdy, and he's like tipping his hat. You know, like, and you get scared of that? The EST? That was, here's the EST. That was the goofiest, the dumbest. That's what it looked like. So what happens? Bianca freezes. Alexa Bliss capitalizes, lays out Bianca Belair, and here is Uncle Howdy, who still looks awfully fucking short. But, I don't know if anybody noticed, the laugh sound effect has changed. The laugh is no longer a Bray Wyatt laugh. Anybody starting to take notice that they're tweaking the sound effects? So more and more, it may end up being Bo Dallas. You know, we talked about the other possibility, which is Vincent, formerly of Ring of Honor. But, you know, I just thought this segment was just dumb. I thought it was dumb. And that leads in to the Royal Rumble. He looks short. I mean, it just doesn't look intimidating. And to see Bianca lift up Alexa Bliss, it's a silhouette. Even with the fucking two fans wearing the Uncle Howdy mask and Alexa Bliss is frozen. I mean, I don't know. I'm not feeling it. Not feeling it at all. So, the only other match that we had tonight that we didn't talk about was Akira Tozawa. He wants to be in the Royal Rumble. Adam Pearce says we don't just give out spots. He wants a match tonight to prove that he belongs in the Royal Rumble. So Adam Pearce tells him, okay, if you could win your match tonight, you don't get a spot, but I'll consider it. Bronson Reed comes out and squashes him like a grape. Again, if you pay attention to some of the noise on social media, they are ecstatic, epic, amazing, big win for Triple H, brought back Bronson Reed. The fucking WWE Universe don't give a flying fuck about Bronson Reed being on the main roster. They didn't react with Meechan's win over Io Sky. They didn't react with Bronson Reed. One of my favorites in NXT, Dexter Lumis, that has fallen beyond flat on the main roster. So as I said yesterday, I'll keep stressing it here now. You may get this perception, especially on Twitter, that the majority of wrestling fans out there are expressing satisfaction, praise for Triple H, oh, re-signing Vince's releases and righting the wrongs and all that, and then the anti-stuff as well, you should start writing the names of the people or copy and paste, make a list of the people that do that online. What you will find out is it's probably 100 people, maybe 200 at the most, that are repeatedly yapping online. And yeah, you will get a bunch of people that will like it, retweet it, whatever it is. But for the most part, it is this much of the audience. And the ones who are loud are loud. And they give you this perception that it's not. And I'm happy that Bronson Reed is back. I think Bronson Reed could do a lot more. But so far, he was brought in by The Miz, who paid him. And then Miz thinks they're buddies, and Bronson Reed's like, no, we're not friends. If you need me, you got to pay me. Try and act more like sort of a baby face. And then he comes out tonight and squashes Tozawa like a grape. The fans don't care. And I don't give a shit how much you like Bronson Reed. You can't deny that majority of it. And you know what the common denominator is? Even with Hit Row, you know what the common denominator is? All these people came from NXT. So just because they were nailing it in NXT doesn't mean they're going to nail it for the WWE Universe. I always compared it to minor league baseball. You could have someone who could be in AAA baseball and batting 300 for 10 years. They go to the major leagues and they bat 200. And then they get sent down again for a little seasoning. Look at the Viking Raiders as well. I mean, there are quite a few names that pretty much made their biggest success in NXT. And they get brought up, and then you start realizing, you know what? You know, there's a reason why off-Broadway stars that might be spectacular on off-Broadway stay on off-Broadway. Because no matter how much they are killing it and nailing it, and I saw it firsthand when Steven DeAngelo took me to a lot of plays that he produced, I saw off-Broadway stars that I was mystified and blown away. I'm like, how are these people not on Broadway? And then you take a step back, you say, oh, okay, now I get it. They're suited for a very smaller, intimate, you know, simpler product crowd. But when you start getting into, like, the bright lights in the big city, they may not be designed for that. And I noticed this over and over and over again. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people will not speak up because they don't want to criticize Triple H because they want us to believe that Triple H is the opposite of Vince McMahon. Plain and simple. You know, I talked about it, you know, even with some New Japan wrestlers. They show up in AEW, and everybody's like, epic, amazing, unbelievable. If I die tomorrow, I die happy. Then they disappear from AEW, but they're on New Japan TV every single week, and they won't tune in. They'll be on Impact Wrestling every single week, and they won't tune in. If you really like someone that much as a wrestler, you watch them on TV. So that's pretty much what we had tonight on Raw. It kind of fell flat quite a bit. We have Raw 30 next week. Austin Theory versus Bobby Lashley for the United States Championship. We will have that celebration for Roman Reigns, the Bloodline. Obviously, KO will get involved with that leading into the Royal Rumble. We will see various family members. How complete that list, we don't know. We also have next week the Usos defending the Raw Tag Team Championship against Dominic Mysterio and Damian Priest. I tell you, I would give WWE so much credit if they took the titles off of the Usos. That would be ballsy, but I just don't see it happening. I don't think you put the tag titles on Dominic Mysterio just yet. Just let him do what he's doing. Just keep going with it. And I think Dominic has been put in that match because he'll probably be the one to eat the pin. Hopefully we don't get a DQ finish next week. But, you know, we got the tag match. And then we got the cage match, Bayley versus Becky Lynch. Now, I want to talk about something else that happened on Raw. Rhodes to the Rumble. Cody Rhodes made it official. He is returning at the Royal Rumble. I am very, very happy that he is cleared. He's ready to go. And I got to be honest with you. And I'm not criticizing a lot of these people, but I expected it. We all knew Cody Rhodes was targeting the Royal Rumble to return. Tonight, in a recorded segment, Cody announced he's returning at the Royal Rumble. And instead of just being happy that he's returning, how many people have you seen that have the blue check marks or have podcasts or write news are all complaining tonight? Oh, I wish it was a surprise. I wish they wouldn't have announced it. I wish he would have just been revealed at the Royal Rumble. You know what that mentality is? That's the mentality that people have gotten used to in AEW. I'm a big supporter of AEW. Yeah, I criticize things that deserve criticism. I praise things that deserve praise. But that's the Cracker Jack surprise that people have gotten way too used to. Every week, we need the lights to go out. Every week, there's got to be a surprise. Every week, there's got to be like, no, not. That's like if I go out in the shower, you see me naked. That's the reaction you make. No, the reaction is more like, See the difference? That's scared. That's epic, amazing, unbelievable. People got to get out of that shit. People like, oh, I wish they should have just... I couldn't believe how many times I read that tonight. Oh, they should have kept it a surprise. Fuck you. That's major news. Another reason to want to watch the Royal Rumble. Another reason to do... You know what a lot of people are probably doing? They probably didn't want Cody announced because they probably had articles that... Oh, Cody may not be cleared after all. Do you remember that awful shit? And I love Meltzer. I still subscribe. I support him. I'll never forget what he did for some of the causes that I was involved in years past. But I'll never forget what he did WrestleMania weekend. Going on a podcast 2 or 3 days before Mania, given the, it, you know, throwing that out there that, you know, it's not a definite that Cody's going to be there. And I was like, wow. You know, that's just so wrong. I mean, everything pointed to Cody returning. And to throw that out there just to throw it out, I just thought it was wrong. You know, and this time around, you know, we just want to know he could return. And he made the announcement, good, he's going to be at the Royal Rumble. And I honestly think some news sites were going to clickbait people all week. You know, will Cody return? You know, there's rumblings that Cody may not be 100% cleared or if he's possible. Blah, 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 blah. Seriously. So now I'm going to give you a rumor killer. Give you a rumor killer right now. I'll give you two. Give you two. First off, let's talk about the men's rumor killer. Remember that Zero website, X-E-R-O? They were one of the leaders with all the bullshit about Saudi Arabia, Mercedes, Moné, and AEW. You know, it gets dangerous where you get shit skeeter. Not everybody in sports skeeter is bad, but the ones that are bad, I call them shit skeeter. When you see shit skeeter retweeting, reposting on their website as news, you know what happens, sports skeeter? You get 50 other little munchkins that have bullshit websites that cut and paste your stuff. And then other people cut and paste these schmuck stuff. And the next thing you know, it's all over the net on a search of what this bullshit website Zero reported. These idiots are reporting that one of the things that's being proposed and could still happen is that The Rock will be in the Royal Rumble, win the Royal Rumble, and he and Roman Reigns will have a stare down to close out the Royal Rumble. I am so tempted to get up right now and moon the camera and show you my zit ass, the two zits that I'm sitting on right now. I want to rename them these two moronic journalists that shit skeeta. So careless. You know, I know Zero News is the morons that put it out there. You know what? The two zits on my ass right now, one of them is called Keita and the other one is called Zero. Zero and Keita. It hurts right now. Why throw that shit out there? It's not true, everyone. The Rock versus Roman Reigns headlining WrestleMania is not happening. The Rock winning the Royal Rumble, it gives me flashbacks of when WWE thought pushing Batista, complete with the skinny jeans, in the middle of the Yes movement was going to work. Fans want the everyday worker to win the Rumble. They want Seth Rollins to win the Rumble. They want Cody Rhodes, who would have been an every week worker if he didn't get injured. The fans want the ones who deliver week in and week out. They don't want someone who leaves Hollywood for a little while to win the Rumble, and then, no. There's nothing to elude that. So this report floating around that The Rock is going to win, and WWE has it that they're going to have this big stare down to close out the Royal Rumble, if that happens, I will, fuck it. My former co-host, Anthony Missionary Thomas, gave me this a year ago. We were going to do another chip challenge until, you know, he left. I was going to throw this out the other day. I will eat this live on camera next week if The Rock wins the Royal Rumble and closes out the Rumble with a stare down with Roman Reigns. Fuck out of here. Bullshit. Here's more bullshit. This. Have you all seen this yet? For those on audio only, somebody is floating around something that they probably use with Microsoft Word, and it's supposed to be a leaked list of not only the women's participants for the Royal Rumble, but it's going to come down to Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan as the final two participants in the ring. This is bullshit. It is not true. I just want to throw it out there so people could stop it. Now, again, my two picks for the Royal Rumble and the Chamber is Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch. I would prefer Rhea Ripley to win the Chamber and Becky Lynch to win the Rumble, but if it's the opposite, that's fine with me also. But this list is floating around, and people are actually reporting it as news. Now, I'll read you the list just so people could know who is on there, because there's some creative names, but this list is fake. It's phony. It's not true. The only reason why I'm putting it out there is to kill rumors. Kill rumors.
Bullshit level, DEFCON 5.
It's bullshit. Anyway, they have Liv Morgan as entry 1, Chelsea Green 2, Candice LeRae 3, Dakota Kai 4, Alba Fire 5, Dana Brooke 6, Oscar number 7, Carmella number 8, Tamina 9, Sonya Deville 10, Maxine Dupri 11, Emma number 12, Rhea Ripley 13, Io Sky 14, Xia Li 15, Lacey Evans 16, Shayna Baszler 17, Shotzi 18, Natalya 19, Shotzi 18, Natalya 19, Caitlyn number 20, Nikki Cross 21, Tegan Knox 22, Zelina Vega 23, Doudrop 24, Bayley 25, Raquel Rodriguez 26, Becky Lynch 27, Kairi Sane 28, Ronda Rousey 29, number 30, Naomi. Yeah, I give them credit for not writing Mercedes Moné. Friends.
That ain't even bullshit. That's horseshit.
That's horseshit. It's not true. It's not true. I'm trying to see if there's any other rumor killers we should kill tonight. Here's another one. Here's some news. Have you all seen what Ringside Fools are doing? They are putting so many bullshit articles about there. If WWE sold, Vince back in creative, Vince putting his hand in things. You know, honestly, in a perfect world, I wish they would find out that maybe Vince put his hands in maybe like a relative of theirs, of age, obviously. Or better yet, maybe some of their girlfriends or boyfriend, anybody. Now they're throwing out there that if WWE is sold, that there is a high likelihood that we will get the return of $60 pay-per-views. The WWE Network is not going anywhere. The WWE Network is still open for people overseas. If the Peacock deal is over, the WWE Network in the United States returns. What these morons seem to forget is that we are in 2023. We are not in 2003. And the idea of monthly pay-per-views are more like UFC and more of companies that don't have a streaming media service, $60 pay-per-views are not returning. So all of these, if WWE sold, this is a likelihood, it's not happening. So that scare that they're trying to put into people, that is just designed to just try to draw attention. That is bullshit as well. It ain't happening. First of all, the stock would tank. Second of all, the WWE Network is there for a reason. Why isn't WWE charging pay-per-views overseas right now? It's not even true. It's just what's happening right now is I think some people are vaping with the funny stuff or they're smoking weed. And I think they're all hanging out like, dude, yo, what do you think wrestling would be like if WWE sold? Dude, what's going to happen with Peacock? The cock's not going to be around anymore. Dude, we're going to get $60 pay-per-view back, man. I need my munchies. I can't afford sit. And AEW, dude. Yo, that's a great fucking article. Please. I want them to all find mates, get married, and hope their significant other does to you what my wife does to me. You know, I used to be that moronic. Some people may think I still am. But, you know, since I've been with, you know, my wife now, you know, I've brought this up before. I have been victim. If you notice on social media, I don't call out anybody anymore. I don't write negative stuff. I just try to put smiles on people's face and laugh. You know why? More than anything, I can't tell you how many times in the past I would write something on Twitter, throw a jab at the goofy reporters, people I had problems with, this and that. And I would go to my wife, you know, and I would say to her, honey, come here, I want to show you something. She'll come over. She thinks I'm going to buy her something on Amazon. Instead, I'm like, look what I wrote. And she'll read it. And for some weird reason, at my age, 50 plus, that she would turn around and say, aha, that's funny. Yeah, you got to post that. Oh, can you imagine the look on his face? Every time I would write it, she'd look at me and she'd be like, I'm going to marry you? How old are you? What are you, fucking 16 years old? And I delete it. Never post it. And that happens multiple times. You kind of like, yeah, I'm not going to write it. So here's, I'm hoping relationship success. We, you know, Eric Bischoff teased the other day, I think he wants to start like a dating network for wrestling fans. I think that's a wonderful idea. I think if a lot of these journalists actually got boyfriends, girlfriends, whatever floats their boat, I think a lot of this bullshit stuff would stop. Because the common denominator, no joke, this is no joke, the common denominator, like 98% of the people out there that clickbait this shit don't have a mate. And I'm not even saying that to be funny. That's not, oh, it's a virgin living in their mother's base. They don't have a partner. It's crazy, but it's true. All right. We're going to start wrapping this up, everyone. A couple of things I want to bring to your attention. First of all, AEW. Oh, by the way, here. That's the updated list of the entries in the Royal Rumble on the men's side. Omos, Bobby Lashley. Oh, I thought Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar were going to be in a cage. Sausage. Brock Lesnar will be on Raw next week. Sausage. All right. Let's get back to the list. Omos, Bobby Lashley, Santos Escobar, Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes, Ricochet, Baron Corbin, Austin Theory, Kofi Kingston, Gunther, and Rey Mysterio. You know what's funny? If you actually look at the Gunther photo, I actually saw two people on Twitter write tonight, like, why is Gunther holding two titles? If you look at the picture, you'll know why. It almost looks like he's holding two titles. On the women's side, they still got the same four that they were talking about on SmackDown. SmackDown, there'll be a lot of names added. So, all right. So AEW this Wednesday. Look at that. Young Bucks win the Trios titles. Hey, you won the Trios titles. How are you going to celebrate? Oh, we'll have a tag team match again. That's pretty fucking funny. That's ballsy. They're going to take on Top Flight. So the Trios champs are going to have a two-man tag team match. Darby Allin against Kushida. Jake Hager against Ricky Starks. Brian Danielson versus Bandido. Willow Nightingale against Tony Storm. Hangman Page will talk. Orange Cassidy will take on Jay Lethal. Not for nothing. This is a very predictable card. Darby's going to win. Young Bucks are going to win. Orange Cassidy's going to win. Brian Danielson has to win, obviously. Ricky Starks must win, if you think about it. It's like, sorry, I'm not going to tune in for Dynamite just to be like, gee, I wonder who's going to win between Tony Storm and Willow Nightingale. You know, I don't think there's that much anticipation for that. On the NXT side, the only two matches that we know of is Gallus against Brooks and Jensen, and Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes versus Axiom and Apollo Crews. That's the two matches that have been announced so far. Very quickly, let's give away the latest prize. Now, unfortunately, I did not get a claim and an address for the prize last week, so that'll probably go back in the tank. But this is for the Nikita Lyon signed photo. Let's spin it. Let's see who wins it. This is everybody who was around last week. Some names are not on there because they just stood all around for a very, very short period of time, and unfortunately they don't qualify. Ari T. All right, Ari T. Much love to you, my friend. You win the Nikita Lyons signed photo. So, you know, we'll have some giveaways in the very near future. I will not announce them in advance because some people only show up for giveaways, and that's not what the watch party is supposed to be about. It's supposed to be like a thank you for everybody. I mean, you're not required to tune in every week, but, you know, it is what it is. All right. Before we go, I want to show you something that I think you'll find a little interesting. And I want to thank Mikey and Joe who sent me these online. And look, I know Brandon Thurston has a Patreon, and I don't like posting Patreon stuff, but it's all over Twitter and it's circulating. And I'm not going to repost it here, but I will read you a couple of tidbits. And look, this is common public information. So it's not like no one else has this, but we have the ratings. For last week's NXT, New Year's Eve, we have the ratings. We have the ratings for last week's Dynamite with the Trios Game 7. Remember all that hype? We have that, and then we have the week before's NXT. Now, I know you all know the ratings already, but I want to just make a couple of points on quarter hours that I think you will find fascinating. First of all, let's discuss quickly January 3rd, which was 2 weeks ago with NXT. They scored 653,000 viewers. You know, not bad, not bad. But what is fascinating about this is the Grayson Waller, Bron Breakker. Remember them having the confrontation to close out NXT? Usually NXT, when they have the 7-minute overrun, and if you do some research, you'll see what I'm talking about. Usually with an NXT overrun, you get anywhere from about 60 to 150,000 additional viewers for that 7 minutes that goes past 10 o'clock every single week, like clockwork. For example, last week's New Year's Evil, the Battle Royal, to determine who was going to face Roxanne Perez at NXT Vengeance Day, the overrun for those 7 minutes went up 13%, went up 90,000 viewers. Do you know that Grayson Waller, Bron Breakker, 7-minute overrun the week before did something that never happens in NXT? That overrun went down. Not only did the overrun go down, but the 3 quarters before also went down. Their rating was 653,000 viewers, and the segment with Bron Breakker and Grayson Waller only scored 547,000. That is beyond awful. That is awful. And the biggest quarter hour of the night with 742,000 viewers was Alba Fire versus Isla Dawn. That match blew away everything else on the card. No other quarter hour broke 700,000 viewers. Even Apollo Crews versus Carmelo Hayes, which was awesome, only did 700. Didn't go over that. So I'm noticing this more and more when it comes to Bron Breakker. Now, last week, New Year's Evil, we had Bron Breakker versus Grayson Waller begin hour number two. Not the main event, but was the beginning of hour number two for NXT. Now, last week, they had 700,000 viewers overall. Do you know that Bron Breakker versus Grayson Waller only scored 705,000 viewers? And not only that, as the match went on, the viewership declined, and it ended up under 700,000 viewers. Another thing is when the New Day came out and we had the tag team gauntlet, remember with the fake rockers last week and everything? They lost between the beginning of that segment with Pretty Deadly bringing out the fake rockers and the New Day coming out, and it led to Gallus end up winning it. Those two quarters that ate up, they dropped 23% in the viewers. The New Day and that whole tournament did piss poor awful. Not only that, as I look further, the Battle Royal ended up going from 693,000 viewers all the way up to 783. So my point is, for the last 2 weeks, the women's matches have been scoring some of the highest numbers of NXT, and the Bron Breakker segments are scoring some of the lowest on NXT. This is not new when it comes to Bron Breakker. Bron Breakker is not killing it in the ratings anymore as far as NXT. There was a trend in the past that Bron Breakker, you know, his quarter hours were always strong. This is now becoming a pattern. And I truthfully think the night after WrestleMania, I think he's on the main roster. And I also think that Carmelo Hayes, he's probably going to be the guy that is going to get that championship. It almost feels like it has to happen. Because Carmelo Hayes still gets some nice viewership. Even Trick Williams gets some decent quarter hours. All right, one more tidbit, then we're going to start wrapping this up. I want to talk quickly about AEW. This past Wednesday on AEW, the main event was the match 7 for the Trios Championships, the Death Triangle versus the Elite. Now, as I said over the weekend, the women's match, when it opened up, of Saraya and Toni Storm versus Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter, okay, the quarter hour right before their match did 981,000 viewers. 981. Do you know that women's match, the viewership went down 5,000 viewers? Do you remember all these places saying that it went up 90,000 and then after the match was over, it dropped down 90,000? That 90,000 is true. What they didn't tell you was that there was no surge when the women's match started, because a lot of people gave this perception that a lot of fans tuned into AEW Dynamite just to see Mercedes Moné make her debut. If you look at the quarter hours prior to that women's match, check this out. This is pretty fascinating. Listen to the numbers. I'm not going to read you what was in each quarter, but leading into the women's match, the quarter hours were 1,087,000, 959,000, 993,000, 940,000, 981,000. The quarter with the women's match did 976. That should tell you something. There was no surge to tune in just to see Mercedes for that match. Another thing is that after the women's match was over and it dropped down to 893, when the Trios title was going to be decided, match 7, that next to last quarter and the final quarter that featured them, there was only a 14,000 viewership increase. Those final two quarters were 893 and 907. Those are the two lowest quarters of the night. The Trios Championship, match 7, those two quarter hours were the lowest of the night. That is very glaring, because if you remember the pre-CM Punk days, do you remember the Young Bucks main eventing some Dynamites that only scored in the 7s and the 8s? We used to talk about that. Here, once again, you have the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega closing out in AEW Dynamite. Now, look, I'm not saying that 900,000 viewers is a bad number. It's not a bad number. But what you're noticing is that if you pull away that Big Bang Theory, you know, lead-in to AEW Dynamite, like, no one is standing out as must-see TV. And it's like hit or miss, no matter who is on the roster. I mean, out of everybody, if you look at this, Bryan Danielson is probably the one that sparked the most interest. And it's very hard to tell with the opening quarter because of the fact that you have the lead-in from the Big Bang Theory. So, so I just wanted to share that because it's very, very interesting to see that trend return, that the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega are not banging it in the ratings. Very, very, especially the match seven. Were people burned out by match seven? Was it too predictable? You know, I think the storyline element may needed to be a little bit more suspension of disbelief. I think most people, you know, figured the Elite was going to take this. And I think there's still a lot of bitterness from the fallout with CM Punk. So before I get out of here, Devin M. says, he did email me, bro. Okay, so if he, did you email me your address, though? I think you just emailed me like a shout-out and appreciation. But send me your address. I don't keep anybody's address. I think some people just assume that I have like a black book. But yeah, just email me the address. And yeah, you get it. It's all good. It's all good. You didn't have to do that. You covered my shipping. He covered my shipping. But yeah, he got the LA Knight stuff. So I still got it over here waiting for you. So, oh yeah, somebody's asking earlier about my shirt. All right, here, I could show you. This is my shirt for tonight. You know, I'm a big fan of Beavis and Butthead, and yeah, it's Mankind. Beavis and Butthead theme to it. And yeah, that is Eddie Guerrero in the background. I'm starting to change up the photos a little bit. You know, it's not that easy because you got to try to find like the right size for stuff in the background. But yeah, I am tweaking things a little bit. So, you know, all right. So with that said, everyone, I think it's time for me to get out of here. We covered everything that we needed to cover. You know, I hope, you know, if you have any questions or comments, you're welcome to post it in the comment section. I responded to a lot of people yesterday and today, and I'll do some more tonight before I pass out for the evening. For my Patreon family, I will be live tomorrow at 10:05 p.m. after NXT. I think tomorrow is off the cuff, so I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure it is. So if it is, you'll see a thread tomorrow morning. If not, I'll contact our VIPers, associate producers, and Hall of Famers. Wednesday, I'll be back here after Dynamite. We'll talk about NXT, AEW. We'll also talk a little bit about Impact. You know, they just had Hard to Kill, and we were talking about Mickie James winning a women's title. There's some buzz as to how long she's going to keep it. And when she loses it, that'll be her swan song. She is going to retire from in-ring competition. I don't think she's in the Women's Royal Rumble this Saturday. Because of the storyline, I know it with some people will read between the lines like, wait a minute, if she loses in the Royal Rumble, isn't that a loss, and should she be completely out of it? Yeah, I guess if you really want to split hairs, I hope Nick Aldis is in the Royal Rumble. I want to see Nick Aldis in a Royal Rumble. I think that would be pretty cool. Next Saturday. What am I saying? Next Saturday was Royal Rumble. So we still have another Raw to get through. We got two SmackDowns to get through. I think this Friday is the contract signing with Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens. It's going to be interesting to see the progression. Sami Zayn, I think, complains a little bit more about the fact of the Usos and Solo kind of like screwing up what he was doing last week with Kevin Owens. But yeah, it's going to lead into the Royal Rumble. Let's see if they try to get Sami Zayn in the Royal Rumble. Because if Kevin Owens, you know, yes, he's got the match with Roman Reigns, but Kevin Owens, they might need Solo Sikoa to be in the corner of Roman Reigns. Now, obviously, Sami Zayn is not going to cost Roman Reigns the win at the Royal Rumble. Roman's not losing the title before Mania. But Sami Zayn may try to do something and it may backfire. There might be some argument and that might tease a possible loss. But it's going to be pay very close attention the next 2 to 3 weeks of where this storyline starts to shift with Sami Zayn. This past Friday it began. With Sammy almost like, guys, what are you doing? I got this. I don't need you to do this. You know, that's going to be where this guy, and it's very interesting to go that route. It's also fascinating that they are pushing the split of the tag titles now. You know, that is fascinating because you now have number one contenders for the Raw tag titles. For SmackDown, they're going to milk it a little bit. SmackDown, they're going to start a tournament, Viking Raiders versus Drew McIntyre and Sheamus this Friday to start the tournament. May get a second match, not sure yet, but that will be milked for a couple of weeks. The winner of that match, I think they would put it on a Fox, you know, a SmackDown episode on Fox, but don't hold out the, you know, you could hold out the possibility that the SmackDown Tag Team Championships may be on the line at the Elimination Chamber. That is a possibility as well. So we'll see how it plays out, but, you know, it'd be really interesting if the Usos lose one of those sets of titles prior to WrestleMania. Sure feels like it's going to happen. I mean, you know, if you think about it too, I'll leave you with this, something to ponder. If the Usos go into WrestleMania still as the unified tag team champions, now we all pretty much still believe it's going to be Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus the Usos at WrestleMania, but if they still hold the tag titles, the unified tag titles going into Mania, what that means is we're now getting more double doses of Usos. Like, they want the Usos on both brands. And they've been doing a storyline where Adam Pearce has been trying to block them from showing up. But in actuality, WWE wants the Usos on both brands because they feel that it's not very strong. Plus, media rights, they want these numbers to boost up a little bit. You negotiate 2024 with USA Network and with Fox or anyone else, you know, you can't just look at what they did in 2022. You got to produce now. It's about the now. So the Usos, they feel, are strong enough to be on both brands. So how do you do a storyline where we're supposed to believe they're trying to block them from appearing on Raw, but they still appear on Raw? Well, you have them defend the championships, and you have a Raw tag team assigned to try to dethrone them. So this all may lead to just giving us a lot more Usos from now to Mania. So, all right, everybody. Much love. I hope you all have a great evening. Post your comments. Post your questions. I will be more than happy to spend some time tonight and tomorrow answering them. And if you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. I don't need to tell you all. And hope you all have a great evening. Much love as always. And thank you for the support. Where is my Godfather outro? There it is. Be well, everybody. See you all soon.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.